We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 5th. Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you today by our new sponsor, Smart Bracket, just in time for March Madness. I'm Dr. A. That is Kurian. We are going to break down a slowish six-game night in the NBA on Monday. We're going to do it right after this. Hey, Kurian, let's dive right in here. We got good news on Monday, right? That Alperen Şengün's injury is not career-threatening or a torn ACL or anything like that. However, he does have a severely sprained right ankle. What do you think the chances are we see him come back and play again in the regular season?
I'd probably go 25%. Like you said, it's not a career-threatening injury, but obviously – the Rockets are like 3.5 games out right now of the 10th seed of that play-in spot. The Lakers and the Warriors are playing really well, so I don't imagine the Rockets reaching that spot by the time he's like ready to come back. I think more likely than not, they shut him down for the rest of the season and just have a good, healthy offseason and prepare for next year.
Yeah, I'm closer to 0% that he comes back. Because not only is it the ankle, it's also the knee. The guy is a mini Jokic. Like, this is a franchise player that you do not want to mess with. And what's the difference really between being a 10 or a 9 play-in and then getting ousted in the playoffs or just not making the playoffs? I mean, it's really not that big of a deal. I think Houston pretty clearly exceeded expectations this year. They were way better than I thought they were going to be. Very entertaining, one of the better young teams in the league. They've got some scrappy veterans thrown in there now into the mix. So if I'm Houston, I'm just shutting him down and saying thanks for everything and moving on to next year. But is there a pickup there? Is Jock Landale really somebody you're comfortable adding to your rosters, your team's trying to make the playoffs, or is this a good thing for Amen Thompson? I know Cam Whitmore's not playing tonight. So maybe it's Amen time. What do you think?
If I in like a deeper league, I would think about adding Jock. If in like a 12 team league that I'm fighting for a playoff spot, I don't think that's a move that is going to be turning any needles for me. Like you said, Cam's out tonight, so I do think that means a lot more. Amen. Jabari Smith's going to be owned in a majority of leagues anyways, but I really think he's going to play a lot of small ball five. Jeff Green may get some run too, but all of these like bench guys, other than Amen, like I don't see Jock or Jeff Green really playing like 20-25 minutes. Amen could get up there, but I think they go a lot of small ball five. Van Vliet, Green get more shots up. Smith gets a lot more like looks from outside, like with the stretch floor. But I don't think there's really like a league winning move here in like 12 team leagues. No one's going to replace Sengun's production. Like you said, he's basically the next Jokic. Well, we're hoping he's going to be the next Jokic. He's showing signs of that.
He's not that far from it right now.
No, not at all. And so, like, no one's going to totally replace that production. So I don't think there's, like, one move off the waiver wire. It's going to be those core guys that are already owned in a majority of leagues that just get a slight upgrade for me.
Yeah, I made a mistake and let Derek Lively go the other day. And after I did it, because I wanted to pick up, there's so many guards that are hot right now. And I was like planning for, I was looking at all the 4-game weeks coming up and I was planning ahead because I'm already locked into the playoffs. So I made all these moves and I was like, oh, now I only have one center and a 2-center league. And weirdly, we'll talk about it in a minute. You know, that both Dallas centers played well last night, which we never see happen. But now I'm like, if I don't get Lively back, I may end up having to grab Jock Landale. So I think if you're desperate for a center and there aren't a lot sitting out there in a 12-team 2-center league, I think Landale is at least worth a flyer until we see what Houston's going to do, because I could see Houston going small, like you just said, or I could see them playing Landale 25 minutes and maybe having him make an impact. But
in a 2-center league, absolutely, he's worth a look. I'll give that stipulation there for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where we are with that part of the Houston rotation. The news was not quite as promising on Sadiq Bey. He's out for the season. He'll have left knee surgery, his ACL. Are you a Bogey Bogdanovich guy or a DeAndre Hunter guy in this situation? I personally like Bogdanovich, but I think Hunter is probably more available in more leagues.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I've been a big Bogey guy his entire career, even when he was chucking up shots in Sacramento. I just love the way he plays. Instant offense, can make a huge impact right away. Hunter has been playing really well recently. The biggest issue with him was always like consistency, right, with the jumper. Like more than anything else. And he's put together a stretch of like really solid scoring performances, double digit points in 14 straight, averaging 17.3 points, shooting over 50% from the field. So he's got something figured out right now. I don't think he's going to like explode to be like some 25 point scorer for the rest of the season because of Sadiq Bey's injury. But I think there's a real chance that he is a steady producer for a team that goes far in the playoffs. He's all that stretch that I just mentioned was all off the bench, right? So even if he doesn't get added to the starting lineup, we've seen Vit added to the starting lineup and Hunter still come off the bench. Even if he doesn't get added to the starting lineup, Hunter is still like a really solid play for me, I think.
Can you hear me right now?
I can. I saw you dip out there for a minute.
Yeah, my video's gone, but apparently my audio is still here, right?
I can hear you.
Okay. So, yeah, and I agree. DeAndre Hunter's played much better of late than – well, I feel like he's had kind of a good year for Atlanta, better than it has been in the past. But it's going to be some weird sledding next year if DeAndre Hunter, Bogdanovich, Bay, and – Jalen Johnson are all still around because there's only so many mouths to feed. And the one that really needs to eat is Jalen Johnson. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's hurt as we know. The Golden State Warriors beat the Spurs last night. Victor Wembanyama came back and graced us with his presence. He only hit 10 of 25 shots, which was painful. He had 27 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, 3 3-pointers. I've got this dude. I've got Wemby in my lineup going against Jokic. They both play 4 games this week. Do you think Wembanyama is going to play tonight? And is that news already out there and I just haven't seen it?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The news last night before game, Popovich used the phrasing uncertain for his status today, and there has not been an update yet. So that would, you know, maybe playing some games there, Popovich is, but I would assume that that means he's kind of trending more towards not playing today. And like kind of like the same situation with Sengun, right? Is there a reason for him to be playing this many minutes? He's all but got the rookie of the year locked up. He's played in 57 games already. So, you know, he's on pace to hit all those thresholds, right? And, you know, from all of like the press conferences and stuff, Wemby wants to play, man. He wants to be out there every night. He wants to be the reason his team is winning every night. But at this point in his career and in with the state of the Spurs, that just is not really like what needs to happen, right? He needs to like stay healthy this year so he has a good offseason and he can build off of his rookie of the year campaign. So I think the Spurs are going to protect him from himself. If sit him out tonight, even if he plays, he'll probably be limited. And I was looking at his shot attempts. That was last night was only the third time he has taken more than 25 shots or 25 or more shots in a game. So I feel like him taking that many shots last night was kind of an indication he's not going to play today. Like if I'm not going to be playing tomorrow, might as well get all my shots up today, you know? And so I think when he will play for the next couple of weeks, he's going to be full go playing over 30 minutes, taking as many shots as he can, being really aggressive. But I do think there's going to be some limitations and there's going to be some rest days during the fantasy playoffs, which is tragic.
Well, he's got a matchup against a non-Sengun tonight, and I was really hoping that he was just going to play and go off. And I got lucky last week because I played against Andre, the professor, Snellings, who I work with at ESPN, and he lost Maxey for the week. I only had Wemby for one game, so we had a our own problems. But if you know, I'm playing against Matt Smith this week. If he gets four games out of Jokic and I get two or three out of Wemby, I'm not gonna. Especially after what Jokic did last night, it's not gonna be fun for me. But we'll see what happens. Devin Vassell was back. He was hot early, struggled late. Glad to have him back. He's a baller, man. I love Devin Vassell. And then did you catch Trace Jackson Davis's dunk on Wemby?
Yeah, man, that was awesome. You got it. Yeah. I'm a Big Ten guy. I know you said you're in Georgia, but I'm a Wisconsin boy, so I've followed Trace Jackson Davis at Indiana for a long time, and he terrorized a lot of Badger teams. And thinking about him as a pro is kind of like, you know, there's no jump shot, there's no whatever. What better fit for him in the NBA than playing with Chris Paul? I mean, I know Curry wasn't playing last night, but playing with like two Hall of Fame point guards, this dude is just a defensive rebounding, roll, screen and roll king, and he fits perfectly with those guys. So I've kind of enjoyed his like little hot stretch here in the NBA. I don't know how much of a ceiling he has in the NBA, but he can play this role for a couple of years at least.
Well, I am from Indianapolis, Indiana, and my mom went to Indiana, and I grew up in Bloomington, down there near Lake Monroe. So Trace Jackson Davis, I watched most of his games as last year in Indiana, and I was surprised he fell that far in the draft, honestly. I thought he was a better player than that. But I get it, no jump shot. But the dunk he had on Wemby last night was pretty fun.
Oh yeah.
Did you notice that Klay Thompson started over Brandon Podziemski?
Yeah, Pods and Trace Jackson both moved to the bench after a couple starts. I was happy with the production from those young guys off the bench. I don't want to be that guy, but I am a little worried about Pods. You know, he's over his last seven appearances, he's missed two games during that stretch. He's averaging 7 points, shooting 39% from the field, 60% from the free throw line. That's not great. He's obviously one of the best rebounding guards in the league already, right? So there's always going to be that aspect that boosts his fantasy appeal. Great defensively for a young guy too. But that offense really needs to be there if he's going to be a difference maker in the playoffs. I'm a little worried. I'm not ready to pull the plug on it for sure, but if there's a better option, I might be looking to replace him in 12-team leagues. In the starting lineup. Not like replace him on my roster, but like move him out of the starting lineup.
Yeah, I feel like Lee Corso on the show on ESPN, like, not so fast. Because Golden State plays four times. Next week, the week after, the week after, and the week after. So they're locked into four games every week from here on out. I picked up Pods off waivers in a 12-team Yahoo league that I'm trying to win on Monday. And I think the only reason he was cut is because he missed those two games.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad he missed those games. It made him available to me. Now, I did see a thing on Twitter before we came on the air today where Wiggins and Pods were running a fast break together, and Wiggins kept the ball and got fouled going to the rack. And Pods is like, dude, I'm wide open. Throw me the ball. He's like, what are you talking about, dude? I'm not throwing you the ball. And it was like, oh, well, maybe Wiggins and Pods are not the best of buddies. Not that I think that really matters that much.
No.
Bottom line is I think the Warriors really like the hustle of Podziemski, and yeah, he's going through a little wall right now, but there's plenty of time for him to get it turned around. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, he's a very high floor guy because of those rebounds and the defensive production, right? Just the offense a little bit. And like you said, like that's a nice little clickbaity Twitter post or X post or whatever it is nowadays. In reality, I think that's just two like hungry guys competing, trying to win, barking at each other a little bit. They probably laughed about it on the plane or like I'm in the locker room afterwards. I did see that and chuckled a little bit though.
Maybe they laughed about it. Maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. But either way, they're professionals and they'll move on.
Well, yeah, at least Wiggins is showing signs of life again. That was a rough first half of the season for that dude. Hey, March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we wanted to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called smartbracket.io that can really help you when you're rebuilding your brackets. Think of smartbracket.io as one friend who always has the inside scoop thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology. It's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, smartbracket.io is worth a peck, a peek. It's fun and easy to use while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. It might just give you those bragging rights you're after. With March Madness right around the corner, a little extra insight never hurt. When Selection Sunday starts, check out smartbracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence. Oh, Kieran, my voice barely made it through that, but we're still here.
You did a great job. Great job.
I've got audio back. I've got video back. I'm back. Dallas Mavericks last night ran the Chicago Bulls out of the gym, ruining a chance for my guy, Luka, my man, to get his, what, 9th, 10th, I don't even know how many, straight 30-point triple-double in a row. Because it was such a blowout, he didn't really play much in the fourth quarter. So he finished with 27, 12, and 14. Like I mentioned earlier, Danny Gafford and Derek Lively both went off in the same game. I don't know that we've seen that happen yet in Dallas. So I thought that was weird. And then also Coby White, who's been carrying one of my teams, and his entire team were sort of a disaster last night. So any takeaways from that?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is you can trust lob runners against Vucevic anytime. I think Andre Drummond got a lot of PT off the bench as he has been, but that's just a tough matchup for Vucevic, right? Two guys who are freak athletes, and Luka Doncic just being the floor general that he is. I agree. I don't think we have seen Gafford and Lively both have that big of games at the same time. And I don't think that that's probably sustainable if we haven't seen any, like that. Probably think that that was a little bit of an outlier. The way that that rotation has been working, it has kind of scared me away from it. One's in the lineup, one's out of the lineup. I know Lively was just, he was injured for a little bit and then he took a personally like a day off. So there's like a lot of interesting things going on with that rotation. I think they're both capable and they've shown that all throughout the year of putting up big numbers, but I don't think there's like a major takeaway where we can go, they got a two-headed monster or anything. You got to start both of these guys every day. Coby White, I think if you've had him on your team, he's carried you this far. You're not like, you just got to keep throwing him out there and the tides will turn eventually. The Bulls are the Bulls, man. They're the, as Barutha likes to call Alex Barutha, the main editor at RotoWire, he calls them the mid three. Obviously, LaVine hasn't been playing much, but the LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic is the mid three. And I couldn't agree with that more. I think with the Bulls, like AO and Coby White are bright spots, but there's nothing like major here to take away from one bad game.
No. Kobe's been awesome, man. Like I drafted Coby, I don't know, 100 and something in that 30 team league. And he's literally carried that team on his back for most of the year. And he's gotten off. He's had some really bad first halves where he's bounced back in the second half of the game and still put up a monster line. But I mean, that game was such a blowout last night. It was just sort of a lost cause all the way around. So I'm not really too worried about it. I wish Dallas would figure out. I mean, I love Derek Lively, but you went and traded for Daniel Gafford. Daniel Gafford is a rim protector. He's a veteran. He's experienced. He knows what he's doing. And I wish they would just turn the keys over to him and try to win games and try to move up in the standings and try to get Luka an MVP here, because if they don't start winning and if they don't get past New Orleans, and win their division, he has no shot at winning MVP, I don't think. So I don't know. I don't love what Dallas is doing right now. They should be – they played better than I think I expected them to, like, all season long until the last 3 weeks. They've been kind of worse than I thought they would be.
Right, yeah, now. I totally agree with that assessment. They've let a couple, like, winnable games this, like, last couple weeks slip, and then, you know, when you're not winning the games you should be and you're still losing the games against the better teams, it's going to be tough. I think, like you said, if the Mavericks were higher up in the standings, Luka would be the favorite at almost every sports book for MVP, but he just can't win it with them that low.
Agreed. Although he might, it's going to be a weird MVP vote, I think. I think there's going to be a lot of people voting for Tatum. There's going to be a lot of people voting for Jokic. I think Luka's going to get votes. I think SGA is going to get votes.
While we're on this topic, for RotoWire, we did like a preseason futures bets, and I took Anthony Edwards at +3,000 for MVP, and my rationale was, hey man, the Timberwolves played really well against the Nuggets in the postseason last year. Timberwolves could be like a top 3-4 seed, and he's going to be their best player. Now they're flirting with the one seed, and I'm not getting any love for MVP. All I wanted was him to be in some conversations, man.
Dude, he's not even on the chart.
I know, like, I know. I was like, it went perfectly. Everything happened, and he's still not even getting.
I don't understand why he's not getting similar love to SGA. Yeah. SGA's numbers pop more, but I mean these defensive plays that Anthony Edwards has been making lately, like that game-saving block against the Pacers, is literally one of the best basketball plays I've ever seen in my entire life.
I would 100% agree. I mean, it was reminiscent of LeBron's block on Iguodala in that finals series. You know, like game on the line, that they just an incredible play. And when I'm trying to like justify him not being in the MVP conversation, I look back at like the Donovan Mitchell years in Utah with Rudy Gobert, and he was winning defensive player of the years, and they were flirting with the number one seed in the West a lot of the time, and Mitchell wasn't getting any of that love. So I probably should have looked back at that history and seen that, like, when you have a defensive player like Gobert, and he kind of gets a lot of credit for winning. I just want Edwards to be in the conversation a little bit, man. He's been phenomenal and one of my favorite players to watch all year.
He's awesome. I love him too. And, you know, he went to Georgia, and I get Gobert and Cat both are there and having big years, but I mean, it's not like SGA's not dealing with Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. Like, I honestly don't get it. It's just it's Minnesota. Nobody's going to win MVP in Minnesota unless it's Kevin Garnett, I guess. So, yeah, that's kind of sad. Now I'm sad.
Sorry, a little sidetrack.
You really brought the whole mood down. Detroit beat Charlotte in a game that maybe 7 people watched on television last night. There may have been 9 or 10 people actually in the arena. But this Vasily Micic guy, have you been paying attention to what he's been doing?
Yeah, man. Ever since the like trade deadline, he's just been absolutely phenomenal. So many injuries to that backcourt, and he's just paving his way. You know, obviously, I think it has to be said that he's not like your typical rookie, right? He is going to be. He's
30. Like 31.
He's already 30. So, you know, guys in keeper leagues or whatever, he's not the rookie stash that you might think he is. But it's awesome to watch him on this run. Charlotte's kind of been competing. I hate to admit it. You know, maybe this gives me some credit as a diehard, but I have Cade Cunningham in a lot of leagues this year. So I've been tuning into those 6 p.m. Central tip-offs with Detroit versus whoever. And, you know, I regret my life at halftime most of the time. But so I was watching a little bit of that game. And, you know, it's awesome to see what he's doing. He's floor general, knocking down shots. He's the only reason why Charlotte is like really competitive. I know Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges are putting up good numbers, but Micić is running that floor general and like keeping them competent.
Well, Vasily Micić, in case you missed it, has scored in double figures in all six of his March games. He's solid in steals. He's solid in boards. He's solid in blocks. He hits threes. I think he's a great pickup right now. Now, Trey Mann and LaMelo Ball could come back at any minute and destroy all the vibes. But, I mean, if they were going to bring Melo back, I think that would have already happened. And yeah, the fact that Trey Mann has been invisible is also of concern. And I'm fine with them just running Micić out there. I picked him up in some leagues. I think their schedule is really good. Let's look at that real quick. Charlotte, two games next week. So Micić is going to be dropped next week, probably. But then 4-4-4 after that. So they play four this week. I could see an owner having him on his roster this week, dropping him for next week, and then it'll be a free-for-all to see who gets him for those last 3 weeks.
Yeah, like you said, I don't think LaMelo is coming back. If he would have been, they would have brought him back. And even if Trey Mann does come back, I still think Micić gets a lot of run.
Fontecchio went crazy last night for Detroit, for your Detroit Pistons. 70 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, or 3 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, and 3 three-pointers. He hit 7-11 shots. Auxerre was out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Fontecchio's had a good year, man. And he for both Utah and Detroit, I had him in a FanDuel lineup last night. That worked out real, real nice for me. What are your thoughts on him?
I love it. I love everything about him. I do have one tragic personal story real quick. So over the trade deadline, I went on vacation, right? And that ensuing Sunday, so when you're supposed to make waiver claims, so like I was on vacation from like Thursday to Sunday, and or Thursday to Monday, and that Thursday was the trade deadline, and he got there was a bunch of trades going down, whatever, and so I'm making moves on the plane ride, right? And I'm like, oh well, I'm gonna drop Fontecchio because he's getting traded, he's not gonna have a starting spot anymore. And this was before Bogdanović got traded out of Detroit, right? So I was like, he's getting traded, he's gonna be stuck behind Bogdanović. There's like, I was only rostering him because he was starting in Utah. And then I go on vacation and I totally forget that I had made all of those preliminary waiver moves. And so like that Sunday, I'm like, oh, I don't need to make any moves. Like, I look at my lineup. I'm like, Fontecchio is like the only like really droppable guy on my team. I don't need to make that move. I actually inserted him into the starting lineup because I'd heard the Bogdanović news. And then I wake up Monday morning expecting him to be a starter. And I had dropped him from that Thursday move and I had just never got back to it. And I've regretted that decision ever since, man. He, in that league, I need three-pointers, and he would just be the three-pointers and steals, and he would have just been literally the perfect fit. I probably would have started him every single week since then. So, you know, it hurts me to see him going off because deep down, I don't want him to succeed, so I don't feel as bad about that terrible blunder that I made. But I feel connected to him for the rest of the season because of that one move. And if I... dropped out of the payment in that league, I'm currently fighting for like third place. Probably could have been pushing for like second place if I would have kept him, but he's been phenomenal, man. And I still wish I would have had him on my lineup.
Yeah, I'm pretty famous for over managing my rosters, and then like baseball season gets here and I'm like a squirrel, or you know, like I have the attention span. I'm like a dog that sees a squirrel over there and I forget about what I was doing over here. Now I'm running over there after baseball. I'm like, I'll stop managing my teams. But I want to win this 30 team league so bad. Then I want to win my rock and roll league so bad. Both of them have Wemby on them. So they both could win. And so I'm staying as hyper-focused as I can on basketball, trying not to do anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
I'm notorious for like drafting a really good team and then like making terrible week to week decisions and silly blunders on the waiver wire being like, oh, this is going to be the best pickup. But we all make mistakes.
Well, that's part of the deal. It's part of the fun of it too.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely.
The Suns beat the Cavs. I don't know if there's a lot there. Devin Booker was back. KD had 37. Beal had 24. Booker scored 27. Even with those three going off, Grayson Allen had another good game. I mean, who knew that Grayson Allen was going to be like the MVP of the Suns this year, right?
Crazy. So going into the season, I did like a little like best under the radar pickups or like, you know, draft guys at the end of the your draft. And I highlighted Grayson and Malik Beasley as just guys that play with stars, are great three-point shooters, and are just going to be sitting in the corner wide open all of the time. Malik Beasley, that's came true, but Grayson is just taking that to another level, man. He's getting blocks. He's ridiculous games at the from beyond the arc. He's been a revelation, and really the only reason the Suns have been able to like keep up with all of these injuries. And I think, yeah, like you said, Booker returned, and they had their big three, and they won. Surprise, surprise. I feel like if they have those guys available, they're going to be pretty good the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, it has helped Grayson Allen that Bradley Beal only has one leg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, Booker's missed time, too. That's helped Allen play a bunch, too.
So he's had help, but, man, Grayson Allen, unsung fantasy hero this season, I would say. The Nuggets beat the Raptors. They were down 22 in the third quarter. I was like, oh, or at halftime maybe. I was like, oh, man, Nuggets might finally lose a game. Hopefully this means Jokic isn't going crazy. No, Jokic absolutely went crazy. 35, 17, and 12. Jamal Murray had 26 and 12. MPJ and Aaron Gordon both scored 19. Michael Porter Jr., by the way, has been looking very good for the Nuggets. That's just in time for their playoff run. So nothing really surprising there from the Nuggets. They're good. We know this. RJ Barrett was back from a one-game illness. He had a good game with 26, 7, and 9. Kelly Olynyk is somebody we probably need to talk about because Jakob Poeltl's done. I got kind of excited about Olynyk when I realized that Poeltl was done. Some people give me flack about that. Some people think it's fine. But I like Kelly Olynyk when he's getting minutes. He hit 9 of 13 shots, had 24 points and 6 boards. Kieran, is it Kelly Olynyk season?
Yes. I think if there ever was a time, it would be now. I know you mentioned Poeltl is out, but so is Scotty Barnes. Last night they were without Gary Trent and Emmanuel Quickley. I envision a lot of Raptors not playing it towards the end of the season again. Kelly Olynyk just got paid a bunch of money, so they're going to want him to be out. Not a bunch of money, a bunch of money for Kelly Olynyk standards. But you know he's going to be out there. He's going to be facilitating, grabbing boards, hitting threes. If he's available on waivers, there's not many guys that have that kind of skill set right now, you know. So I think it's Kelly Olynyk season and roll with him if you got him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I'm going to be looking at to replace Lively when I pick up that center. It's one of those leagues, dude, where waivers only happen like every 4 days. So you got to put it in and sit there and wait 3 or 4 days to go by before it drives me nuts. Open up waivers. Let us pick guys up. Grady Dick was in my DFS lineup last night as well. It sounds like we're talking about something other than fantasy basketball. Grady Dick had 17 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 triples. Gary Trent Jr. was out. Emmanuel Quickley was out. I'm smart enough to know that means somebody is going to have to step up in their place, and I figured it might be Grady Dick, and I rolled with it, and he had a great night. So I think I saw in the RotoWire news feed that Quickley's going to be out again, and I think, like you said, a lot of these Raptors are going to be missing time. So I don't know that I hate Grady Dick as an actual just pickup right now.
No, so a couple, like when he first started getting playing time, I think this was about a month ago, like almost 2 months ago. So like mid-January, he started seeing like 15 minutes a game. And I'm in like a 16-team keeper league where you keep 9 players every year. And this was my first year in it, and I completely destroyed the team that I took over, right? I the only guy that I kept was Tyrese Maxey on like a $5 salary. And then I had Giannis, and I ended up flipping Giannis midway through the season because obviously my team isn't competing. But I drafted all top five picks in the draft, Wemby, Scoot, Brandon Miller, and the Thompson brothers. And so my team has been like exceeding expectations for a rebuild, right? And I still have like one spot filled. And so in that like mid-January when he started seeing 15 minutes, I picked him up right away as like a potential keeper for next year because – you know, he hits threes and who knows what the Raptors are going to be like. And that I've just felt more and more confident sliding him into my 9th keeper spot in that league. And now he's like generating relevance in standard 12 team leagues. This dude, like I know a lot of people are going to give him flack for just being like a shooter, but I think there's a lot more to his game than people think. And with all of these injuries, like I would be fine rolling with him. I think it's a risky play. He's going to probably be a little hit or miss, but he can definitely put up points in a hurry. Multiple three-pointers in 12 of his last 16, shooting over 51% from the field during that stretch. I think he's worth keeping an eye on in standard leagues.
All right, let's move on to the Celtics and Blazers. We'll run through these last few notes I've got written down here and then maybe answer a few questions before we get out of here. Celtics crushed the Blazers, not surprisingly. The Blazers and the Grizzlies, man. I mean, I don't even know what you do with them as far as setting lineups or trying to plan in advance or what's going to happen. I think you just kind of have to wait and see who's going to be out there for them. Each night because it's something else. Jaylen Brown had 27, Jason Tatum had 26. I rolled the dice, put Pritchard in my 30-team lineup because of all the injuries. Jrue Holiday sat out. Pritchard started his first start of the season. He had 11 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Al Horford had a full fun stat line because Porzingis was out. The Celtics are so good. They could just put Porzingis in the house and Holiday. Like, they don't need either one of them. They could put them both on the bench till the playoffs and not even lose a step or a game or anything else. Your guy, your high school, was it teammate or rival?
Teammate.
Hauser, Sam Hauser, right?
Yes, sir.
22 points last night.
Sharpshooter.
Let's go.
He's been awesome. I mean, there's a lot of funny stats with him having like the best plus minus the last couple of years, you know, because he plays limited minutes at the end of, and they bring out the shooters, so his stats get a little bit inflated when they're rolling out that small lineup and he's hitting threes. I think like last year and this year, there's been points where he's like led the NBA in plus minus. So that always gives me a good chuckle, but he's just such a steady player and a luxury to have off the bench. Like you said, when you got two starters out and you can have a guy like that who can just knock down open shots.
Yeah. We're talking about Sam Hauser. You know, somebody's out there like, man, who are they talking about? It sounds awesome. I need to go pick him up. But no, I mean, if the Celtics are going to rest a bunch of guys, Hauser's going to have a good game. He's like Grady Dick for the Raptors, sort of. The Blazers got 22 and 15 from DeAndre Ayton. Camel and I last Thursday had pretty much determined Ayton was done for the year. But, man, he's looking good again. Simons had 17. Scoot's back. I thought Scoot might be done. What's going on in Portland?
I don't know. I don't, like you said, I don't know if you can trust any of this, but DeAndre Ayton has 52 points and 34 rebounds over his last two games. That's pretty good. I don't know if this is sustainable. This might just be like one last charge before they all get shut down again. He's only played in 42 games this year, so he's not chasing any awards or anything. Not like he would be in contention. Maybe there's just some Chauncey Billups old school mentality. Maybe we want to build something for the future. See Scoot and Ayton on the floor together with Simons. But I would obviously, if he's healthy and he's available, you're throwing Ayton in the lineup after these last two performances. But I don't know if I can trust that.
I don't trust him. Hey, when you were talking about Wemby, did you mention the games played thresholds for the awards? Because the Rookie of the Year does not have games played.
Okay, I did mention that. I just said that he had played in 60 or 57 games or whatever it was. I wasn't sure if that was.
Because I was over here last week blabbing all about how he's going to get 65 games. He's going to get the award. And then people are like, dude, it doesn't matter for Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year and Sixth Man, I think. I don't think those you need a minimum number of games to win those awards.
That's fair. I think there's also, like, if Victor was completely shut down right now and Chet went on to play all 82, I think there might be, like, even if there wasn't, like, a rule about it, I think that might, like, sway some voters, you know? I think Wemby has done enough to lock it up right now. Chet on pace for 82, given all of the injury concerns and missing last season and even the injury concerns coming in, would be a remarkable feat.
It really would be. And I've got some teams. I did a mock with RotoWire with you guys, that mock draft we did, and I drafted Luka, Chet, and Wemby on the same team. And then you guys are like, nah, we're not going to play it out. And it's just that team just sits out there wasting away. And it's so beautiful. And there's somebody else. I think Jalen Williams is on that team. It's the most beautiful fantasy basketball team I've ever seen. And it's all for nothing.
Was that a Fantrax mock?
No, it was I think we did it on ESPN. I think it was a ESPN. Yeah, I tweeted about it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, man, this makes me so sad right now. What's that? Bengals trading Joe Mixon to Texans. Okay. By the way, we're all very excited here in Atlanta to have your boy Kirk Cousins coming over. That's just fantastic. Actually, it's better than than Desmond Ridder, but –
So, along with my NBA duties, I'm also the Atlanta Falcons beat reporter for RotoWire. So, I do a lot of Falcons updates for them. I think it's obviously a huge upgrade over the last couple of years, but I'm kind of – you guys passed on Lamar Jackson last
season. Lamar Jackson, dude. 20 passed million
on Lamar last more. Offseason, and now you're giving Kirk Cousins off of
– So stupid. Killing. It's the most Falcons-y thing ever. Yeah. I call it Falcons-y. All right. OG Anunoby comes back for the Knicks tonight. Hasn't played since January 27th. Good news for the Knicks and fantasy managers. Tyrese Maxey clears concussion protocol. He was out last week, which saved me. How big's the hit going to be on Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield, do you think?
If I had to guess, I think Hield was in the starting lineup the last time they had the Lowry Maxey backcourt healthy. So they had Hield at the three. I think Hield probably stays in the starting lineup. He'll get some looks. Oubre is just kind of one of those guys that it doesn't matter what his situation is. He could be starting and playing 40 minutes and go 2 for 10, and he could play 18 minutes off the bench and score 25. You know, he's just that hit or miss guy. So I think his value kind of stays the same. Oubre's value stays the same. Hield's probably drops just a little bit because he's kind of more of a chucker when Maxey was out, but I don't think nothing too major for Oubre.
Any thoughts on Donovan Mitchell, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard's injuries? I have not had a chance to scour the injury report this morning.
So George and Kawhi set out the second game of a back-to-back, and now they're listed questionable for this next game. If they're upgraded to available, I think we can just chalk those absences up as like maintenance. if they're ruled out, I'm going to get a little concerned. Donovan Mitchell is concerning. That PRP injection, I feel like every time a player gets one of those, that's just going to be a thing he's going to have to deal with for the rest of the season, right? Like, he's getting that immediate relief right now to feel better. But as soon as he gets back on the court, there's still going to be like that little bit of thing. But I think he'll play and he'll play through it. I think there just might be some usual struggles. There was an ESPN broadcast the last time they were on. I think it was the Cavs and the Knicks. And the broadcast was talking about how before he got the injection, Mitchell was like, 9 out of 10 times I would try to jump or I would try to shoot and I would feel totally fine. And then that 10th time, I would just get no lift. And for a guy that explosive, that's like really concerning.
Yeah, it is. I kind of think George and Kawhi are going to play in the next one, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, yeah, they've been great this year as far as playing through injuries, but that history's there, and we're pretty deep into the season. I don't know, man.
Yeah, they miss another game, I start to panic a little bit.
The Lakers and the Timberwolves have two games this week. What a buzzkill. We really need to talk to the NBA about not scheduling these two-game weeks in the middle of playoff pushes in fantasy, because I know they care a lot about us fantasy managers. But and also Rudy Gobert, mysteriously, quietly absent right now after he did the Johnny Manziel money sign to Scott Foster, picked up a massive fine. And now he's just disappeared. I mean, is he secretly suspended? I don't know. But everybody in this game, everybody for the Wolves right now is kind of iffy. Cat's out for the regular season. Gobert's hurt. Kyle Anderson's hurt. Your guy, your MVP, Ant Edwards, is iffy with a shoulder injury. So Naz Reid has been super fun. Silly season waiver wire pickup of the year, maybe.
Absolutely. I had to mute myself. My cat was going a little crazy on his scratching post. I didn't want to annoy the listeners. But yeah, Naz Reid is phenomenal. I feel like there's always just kind of been that log jam since Gobert got there where he, like, his production is like a little bit limited, and now we get the full Naz Reid experience, and I'm here for it.
Last thing, we're gonna answer a couple questions. Cam and I got into this last Thursday. If you get the number one pick in your fantasy draft, and let's say you only have one league, so you only get to make the number one pick one time, who are you taking number one next year?
I'm taking Wemby. I know I was on the SiriusXM RotoWire show a couple months ago, and this was kind of what, like, when Wemby was still being limited to like 27 minutes after his first ankle injury. And I was like, I would say top three, right? I think you got Jokic and you got Shea as the one and two, and then there's a couple injury concerns with like Anthony Davis and whatever. But I'm taking Wemby number one overall, man. Look, he has played over 35 minutes only three times this year. If he ever gets to averaging 33, 34 minutes a game, the numbers are going to go through the roof. The potential for 5+ three-pointers and 5+ blocks every game is just ridiculous.
And I mean, five steals.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He can do everything. Obviously, like, there's probably a little more safety net with a guy like Jokic or Shea, but you know, it's fantasy sports, it's gambling, and there's a reason you do it. You got to swing big, you got to win it all, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I took Wemby everywhere I could get him this year, because I was like, I don't care if he's as thin as a beanpole, I don't care if he plays for Pop, I'm taking Holmgren and I'm taking Wemby every chance I get. And I'm going to run him out of there, and I'm having a really good year. And I don't usually roll with rookies, but Wemby's different, man. I've been telling people about Wemby, you know, people who don't really know anything about basketball, I'm telling them about this guy for like 2 or 3 years. And they're like, oh man, that kid you told me about, is really good, isn't he? And they're like, yeah. And I mean, if I get the number one pick, I'm taking Wimby as well. Now, having said that, after last night when Matt Smith and his Nikola Jokic squad ran over all, me and my guys and holds a 6-3 lead after Monday, I'm having some second thoughts, especially if Wimby doesn't play tonight. But by the time next year gets here, like you said, all he needs is 30 minutes a night and to play every night, and it's going to be over.
Yeah,
and nobody can guard him. He doesn't have to jump to block shots. He doesn't have to move to steal the ball. I mean, everything he does, he just sort of just goes and gets it. He doesn't really even need to be athletic with it. It's just nuts.
Well, and when Sengun had that 45 piece against him the other day, everyone's like, oh, Sengun was dominating him down low. But Wimby had 7 blocks in that game, man. Like, I get that Sengun probably got the better of the matchup that night. But for to say that it was, like, all one-sided, like, Wimby was still getting his and like you said, it's like a dad. It's like when the NBA players have those camps, and there's, like, the 5-year-olds, and they're like, oh, I got crossed over. Just kidding. Get out of here.
Like, he's when he's crazy. Up against a guard, it looks like a dad against a 3-year-old. And then when he's up against Sengun, it looks like a big brother against a little brother. Yeah. And he was blocking Sengun's shots without even jumping. So, whatever. All right. Jeff Martin wants to know, are Evan Mobley and Vince Williams drops? I dropped Vince Williams reluctantly because I want all these 4-game guys for the playoffs. So I was picking up, some of the players that we've talked about on this podcast today, and making moves. And I dropped Vince Williams. Mobley, I know some people are fired up about him coming back. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know much. I don't know that much about Mobley's injury.
So yesterday, there was an update that he was took off the walking boot and he wasn't in on crutches anymore, which is a really good sign. But that also means that he's probably still multiple weeks away. So if you the playoffs are starting next week, if you are it's the playoffs start next week. You need to win. I think if there's a player that you think can start for you and perform for you, a 4-game player or something like that, Mobley's definitely droppable. Williams, like you said, would be a little more reluctant just because of his production recently. But you can't trust the Grizzlies at all. So if there's
he's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I that's what I'm saying is I think is he really hurt? Are all of those Grizzlies hurt? What are they feeding them if they're all hurt? So he could be shut down for the rest of the season, no matter what. And if he's playing, I would be fine having him. But, there's a back-to-back set and you have him on a 4-game week and he only plays 3. There's probably another better option out there in 10 or 12 team leagues.
Yeah, there are teams that are being competitive and trying to do things where you can get players from, where you don't have to mess with this Portland Memphis thing because it sucks, frankly. Dub Force wants to know, Amen Thompson, Sarah Thompson, Gigi Jackson, or Paul Reed needing a replacement for Trey Mann. Which one of those 4 guys do you like best?
It depends on what kind of league this is. You're dropping Trey Mann, so I would just and you're gonna try to pick up Paul Reed. That would be kind of interesting. We talked about Amen earlier, he might be getting some more run with Sengun out. Asur's been starting now, but then he had this illness that he should be back. Gigi Jackson, we've been talking about Memphis all season. Can you trust him when he's in? I think Paul Reed's probably the safest move here. I don't know how that would work with your roster or what kind of league, but I think Paul Reed he's kind of a hit or miss player, but I think he's the safest among these because all 4 of these are hit or miss guys.
I had pretty big concerns about Paul Reed a couple weeks ago, but he sort of eased my fears. He's playing better. We know Embiid's not coming back anytime soon. I mean, in my opinion, it's Paul Reed, B-ball Paul all day right there.
Yeah.
Delroy Scarlett. Should I drop Julius Randle and Sengun? If so, what are possible replacements? Kieran, I don't know about you, but super open-ended questions like this drive me nuts. Well, sure. You want to pick up Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, and Kevin Durant. I mean, it all depends on who's available in your league, obviously. But I mean, I think it's safe to drop Şengün at this point. I don't know. I haven't looked at Randall lately, but
there was a Shams had a on his like little run it back FanDuel show. He said OG Anunoby was going to be coming back tonight, but then he also said Julius Randle was a couple still quite a ways away. So I think you're fine to drop both of these guys. And for potential pickups, we talked about like Kelly Olynyk. That's a guy, if he's available in that league, I think he would be a perfect replacement for either of those guys for the playoffs.
Olynyk, Michik, and really go out there and look at that the game scheduler, like how many games everybody plays per week. Like Pajemski, like we talked about, plays four games every week the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Figure out what works best in your league. Figure out who's hot. Figure out whose position's not in the most danger, and then make moves. But and go back and listen to this podcast again, because I can't tell you everybody we talked about off the top of my head, but we talked about a lot of pickups
definitely
today, and guys who can help your team. So yeah, I think we both agree, based on the update from Kyrie, and I just got on Julius Randle, that you can drop both of those dudes and pick somebody else up. Michael Chang says, thoughts on Evan Mobley coming back by next week or so. We talked about that. Trey Mann. Where is Trey Mann? Is he alive?
Where is Trey Mann alive? Well, he plays for Charlotte, so I don't know if he's going to be coming back at all. I think I'm just looking to see how many games he's missed at this point. He's missed three games. That's not like a huge like shutdown factor or whatever, but like we said with Micić playing well, there's just no reason to like really like mess up a good thing. Obviously, like I know that guys liked his like immediate production right away when he after the trade deadline when he like came, but over his like last six appearances, he's only averaging like 10 points and four assists. So Trey Mann wasn't like this guy that's like going to come back and like save you. Micić is putting up better numbers over these last three games. So like, I don't think you got to be like holding on tight to Trey Mann coming back and saving your fantasy team.
Last one, Michael Chang, who asked that question about Evan Mobley. He's at a bye week next week.
Oh,
before when the playoffs start. In that case, I think I would be hanging on to Evan Mobley.
Yeah, definitely.
The rest of this week, you got all of next week, and then you'll have news by the end of next week, so you'll know something.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. Two weeks, and you'll get an update, and then he might still be limited when he comes back, but I think you'll at least have an update before then.
And then Red 22 says, is Scoot Henderson worth a pickup in Yahoo Points League? I don't know, man. It's Portland.
Like I said, I feel like Chauncey Billups might want to just like see what they got in this young core for a 10-game stretch, because they really haven't been able to get it out. I'm a huge Scoot homer. I follow the G League really closely, and he was just such a baller in the G League last year. And I had really high hopes for him. Obviously, it's been sporadic, so I'm a little biased. I think Scoot could be a guy that like makes a huge impact in the playoffs, but he could also be a guy that fails miserably.
Yeah, I don't think he's a must-have player right now, but I think he's certainly worth keeping an eye on. I mean, I'm kind of surprised he's back.
Yeah.
And I think we were all kind of G League watchers last year. At least I watched two games when Scoot, I guess that wasn't G League, but when Scoot and Wemby played each other, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to watch off-season basketball. This is weird.
So
I'm an anti-G League guy.
That was
summer league.
That was like the summer league. Yeah. We were doing like our Vegas RotoWire goes to Vegas during like the MLB All-Star break for like a little convention sort of deal. And I was on my plane to Vegas during that game, and we had a TV on our flight and my monitor wasn't working. So I'm like leaning over this old lady next to me trying to watch Wemby and Scoop play, because that was like the highlight of the whole summer.
Oh, that's a great way to end the show, dude. That's funny. All right. Well, Kieran, thanks for being here. Your last name is Sprecher, right?
Yes, sir.
And you are the RotoWire guy. You and Alex and Nick. I'm just a guy. You guys are the guys. And this was fun, man. And thanks for doing it with me. Thanks to our sponsor, Smart Bracket, Rick Kamla, and I will be here Thursday morning at 11 a.m. We're going to do this all over again.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. Talk to you all soon. Right.
Thank you. See ya.
Peace.